Have our first Bible reading now, please, Drummond. This is from the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament. It gives a sort of history of the early church. So this is sometime after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and Peter is preaching here and explaining something of the significance of who Jesus is and what he did.
As Mark says, this is from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter at Cornelius' house, from verse 34, and it's found on page 1104 in your pew Bibles. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
We remain standing for our gospel reading, which Annabelle's going to read for us now. We pick up this account in Matthew's gospel after Jesus' burial.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 62, and is found on page 1000 of the Pew Bibles. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, Some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please take a seat. Now, children, I have brought with me something that perhaps you've never seen before. This is something from the olden days. It's a little bit like an iPad or a Kindle. And you can get one of these every day. It tries to tell you the news, what's happened. Other newspapers are available. But it says here, interestingly, actually, that apparently British farmers were upset by my Easter egg. So I don't know what that story's about, but it's an interesting one. So, you've got to be careful when you read the newspapers, haven't you? I don't know whether you would trust what you read in the Telegraph. Probably its news is pretty good. I guess in a gathering this big, we might not all share all its opinions. And perhaps particularly on the internet, we've got to be careful and look out for fake news, haven't we? Maybe there'll be an AI-generated image or something. It might not all necessarily be true. Let's have the first slide, Matt. So, this fake news, apparently it's an old one, comes from the 1890s, but I guess we probably associate it mostly with this person. I'm sorry if some of you don't really want this person to be mentioned, but let's just have them, yeah. Okay, so he sort of popularised this phrase, hasn't he? Now, I don't want to mention politics near the pulpit, but some people might suspect that some politicians might use the phrase fake news just when they mean, well, something I don't agree with, something that's inconvenient for me. Maybe it's true, who knows, but it might sometimes get labelled fake news. Of course, there's some of it around for April Fool's Day, haven't there, that we've just seen. Some of you might remember this classic. Remember this one? BBC Panorama reported in 1957 that in Switzerland there'd been a really brilliant spaghetti harvest because of the mild winter and the virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil. Apparently people were phoning up to find out where they could get their spaghetti trees from. I don't know if you've seen any good ones this year. I seem to keep seeing pictures of various buildings with sharks through the roof. You know, Keble College, Oxford, were going to install a shark, I think. Or, you know, this looks delicious. This could be quite good. Iceland's tear and share garlic bread. I'm willing to give it a try, but apparently, sadly, it was fake news. Well, we might think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus under these two headings of fake news and good news. Fake news and good news. Because the chief priests and the Pharisees say that they're worried about fake news. They're worried, they say, about Jesus' disciples stealing the body and saying that he's risen from the dead. It would be fake news, in the sense perhaps of a true story that they could conveniently dismiss as untrue. But they try to take their measures against it. They go to the governor, Pilate, and they try to get him to secure the tomb. They say, let's have a big stone, let's have a seal, let's have soldiers. And of course they can't prevent the Son of God from rising again, as the classic hymn has it. Vainly they guard his bed, vainly they seal the dead. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Saviour, my Lord, risen from the dead. I guess a whole legion of Roman soldiers couldn't possibly have stopped Jesus rising from the dead. And interestingly, Matthew tells us that the guards end up terrified. Jesus is alive, but the guards are like dead men. It's an interesting twist, isn't it? Matthew's little joke, perhaps. Well, the chief priests say that they fear fake news. It all goes wrong for them. Jesus rises from the dead. And so they devise a plan to spread some fake news. They bribe the soldiers to say that Jesus' disciples stole his body. I don't know if you've ever thought about the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence for it, what you think might actually have happened. This idea that Jesus' disciples stole the body seems a particularly stupid one. Of course, there's the stone and the seal and the soldiers. But there's also the fact that Jesus' disciples had all run away and hid. They were all discouraged and fearful and seemed to have given up. They weren't organising a tomb raid. They were hiding out. People will sometimes die for something that's wrong, but they won't often willingly die for something that they know to be wrong. And many of the disciples gave their lives for their faith in the resurrection of Jesus. They obviously believed it, I think. Well, fake news. What then about the good news? The angels tell the Marys, the women, the good news. Jesus, who was crucified, is risen. And then the women meet the risen Jesus. Jesus' disciples have failed and fled, but Jesus hasn't given up on them. He's going to go ahead of them to Galilee, where it all started for them. And they're going to have a fresh start. Those disciples are still going to be included in Jesus' plan, Jesus' mission. The resurrection of Jesus is real good news about an actual historical event. The tomb empty, Jesus risen, seen by many people. The Gospels are at pains for us to know that Jesus really died, that his tomb, the tomb of Joseph, was known, that it was empty. And Peter summarised the good news of Jesus in our reading from Acts. God's message, good news of peace through Jesus, who is the Christ, the long-promised Messiah, the rescuer king they've been waiting for. Jesus, who is Lord of all. Peter proclaims Jesus' life, death and resurrection. And he says that witnesses even ate and drank with him. This was no ghost. This was Jesus risen bodily from the dead. And God has appointed this risen Jesus as the judge of all people. Everyone who believes in him can receive forgiveness of sins and friendship with God, whatever they've done. So Easter Day, it isn't fake news, it's good news. In fact, it's the best news in the world ever. Good news which changes everything. May we too, like the Marys, like these women, worship the risen Jesus with joy and take the good news to others. Let's just pause and reflect for a moment. Do we accept this good news? Will we allow the risen Jesus to transform our lives? And will we pray for opportunities to share this good news with others? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus who died and rose. We pray that we might know the joy and peace and forgiveness and purpose which can come from knowing him. Give us a firm faith in what Jesus has done for us. Help us to trust him. And we pray that we might even have the courage to share this good news with others. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.